This is pediatric nurse practitioner Christy Westfall, and this is Health Cetera Radio. Today, a tale from the cribs inspired by the newest addition to my family, my newborn nephew, Mason Richard Singh, and his proud parents, Carrie and Tom. Babies are such a blessing. They represent love, family, and hopes for the future. Yet, they are so mysterious. Rather than words, they communicate in cries, coos, gurgles, and poos. It's not difficult for any parent to get lost in translation, especially when trying to decipher when a particular baby behavior is normal, or if it warrants a visit to a pediatric healthcare provider. Emergency room pediatrician, mother, and author Dr. Wendy Hunter joins the show today to help us debunk some common anxiety-producing baby myths and decode some seemingly scary baby symptoms that are actually completely normal. Welcome, Wendy.
Hi, Christy. Thanks for having me.
So excited you're here. So your article in Parents Magazine on scary baby symptoms that are perfectly normal helps parents navigate these frightening but normal baby symptoms versus true baby emergencies. Some might suggest that babies spend most of their time communicating with us through breathing, eating, eliminating, sleeping, and crying. While each of these functions can be represented on a scale from totally normal to totally scary, let's explore these further, starting with one of my personal favorites, breathing and boogers. Many babies seem to have breathing patterns that are different than adults. They seem to breathe very, very, very fast. They suddenly stop breathing for maybe 10 to 20 seconds, and then they start breathing again. Is this normal?
Yes, actually, it's completely normal. It's a type of breathing called periodic breathing, and it can last sometimes up to 6 months, but generally more like 2 months. And it has entirely to do with babies being completely physiologically different from adults. So first of all, obviously their lungs are teeny tiny, so they can't fill it with as much oxygen, so they have to breathe more times. So whereas an adult might breathe 14 times a minute, a baby can breathe up to 50 times a minute. So why do they pause in their breathing? It's funny you should ask about this because I had a family recently. The grandmother brought in her 2-week-old granddaughter because she saw this pattern of breathing, and she just assumed that it was sleep apnea and that the baby had unfortunately inherited it from the grandfather.
What's sleep apnea?
So sleep apnea is a condition that can be in anybody, but generally in older people where they have obstruction or another reason, but they'll just stop breathing.
And babies don't get this?
So babies do stop breathing or they pause their breathing, but for an entirely different reason. And that is, it has to do with the immaturity of their nervous system primarily. So the mechanism isn't completely understood, but we do suspect it's because the sensors in the body that measure carbon dioxide aren't fully mature. So the baby's body doesn't always notice that they need to be breathing. It's those carbon dioxide detectors that tell you to breathe. So if they're breathing too fast, they don't have enough carbon dioxide to signal it, and they'll just stop breathing.
So periodic breathing in babies, a scary but totally normal baby symptom. So nasal congestion and boogers also seem to represent common parental baby-related breathing concerns. How often do you see babies come into the emergency department with nasal congestion or boogers?
Oh, probably every time I work. It's so common, and I love the explanation, and that is that the estrogen that's in mom's body causes inflammation of the nasal surfaces. So you just have to remind mom, don't you remember how stuffy you were when you were pregnant? The baby has the exact same condition you did.
So how long does this nasal congestion in babies last for? Is it something that they only have when they're newborn, or is it something that persists from 2 months to 4 months to 6 months or even 8 months?
It varies a lot because estrogen declines in the baby's body at a variable rate between babies. But most importantly, you need that baby's nose to grow. So generally, it'll be gone by about 4 months, but babies can be stuffy until their nose passage is just big enough and the estrogen's gone, up to 6 months.
So is it true that babies breathe more through their noses than their mouths? I've had many patients come into my office, and they're very curious about, well, when I'm breastfeeding the baby and they have boogers, they seem to be having difficulty breathing. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's just straightforward that babies prefer to breathe through their nose than their mouth. And it's called obligate nasal breathers. That's just it. That's the end of the story.
Awesome. So in other words, it's totally possible to asphyxiate on your snot. So how can parents help babies breathe better? They can't blow their noses yet, correct? Do you have any suggestions on ways parents can help maybe suck that snot out?
Well, that's a really good point you make. It's funny, at the beginning you said that, you know, we have to do a lot for our babies. Like, all they do is eat and sleep, but we have to feed them. And we also have to help them blow their nose because they don't have the musculature to do it. So you got to suck it out. My favorite is to use those nasal suction devices where you put one end in the nose and the other end you suck on to provide suction. There is a valve, so you're not sucking up their boogie. And there are a number of brands, but yeah, those are my favorite. And you got to use nasal saline. You got to spray saline into their nose before you suck out their boogies.
But don't they cry during this? Doesn't mean that you're hurting your baby if you're suctioning the boogers out of their nose?
You know, it's actually quite helpful when they do cry because at least they force the boogies out.
So a quick recap on scary baby respiratory symptoms that are actually perfectly normal. Periodic breathing is common and normal in newborns. Nasal congestion, a common source of parental nervousness, is actually normal as well and expected. Finally, babies need help with booger removal because they can't blow their own noses, so we have to blow them for them. So we've talked a little bit about baby symptoms with breathing that are scary but normal. Can you give parents a couple tips on, well, when is baby breathing not normal? What are symptoms that should be, you know, setting off alarm bells to have your pediatrician, your nurse practitioner, or your physician's assistant maybe check the baby out or even go to the ER?
Just off the top of my head, I can think of three. The first would be that they can't feed because they can't breathe and feed at the same time. That's worrisome. The second would be if they have any blueness of their lips, that would mean that they actually aren't getting enough oxygen. And the third would be that they're working hard to breathe. And what I mean by that is that if they're using extra muscles to pull in oxygen, like flaring their nose or sucking in the skin just below their ribs, we would be worried about that.
Thanks, Wendy. I think we can all now breathe a little easier with understanding baby breathing. So another common, scary, but normal baby symptom is bloody spit up. So I know you have a fantastic anecdote on this.
Oh, yeah. I had a couple come in. They were both doctors and parents of this new 4-month-old who had been spitting up blood. And obviously it was very scary, and they're both adult doctors, so they are sure that something has broken inside this child's intestines.
So even if you're not a doctor and a layperson, bloody spit up could definitely be something that could be confounding and concerning.
That's exactly right. You know, we are experts in infants as pediatric nurse practitioners and pediatricians. So what it turned out to be was that the child was swallowing just a little bit of blood for poor mom's nipples that were very sore and was just spitting that right back up.
Oh goodness. So babies can actually spit up blood, but it actually is coming from their mother's nipples. And this tends to happen a lot during teething, correct? Why is that?
Well, the baby can start to bite on mom's nipple and cause some trauma, but also there can be bleeding from their own mouth from the teething. And there really is virtually nothing dangerous about a baby spitting up blood, which is hard to believe, but there's almost no condition that's dangerous.
When should parents worry about bloody spit up?
I think if the child is also acting ill, that would probably be about it.
So moving to the rear end of the gastrointestinal system, baby constipation is often a parental anxiety-producing situation. So do you see babies in the ER that are constipated?
Oh, we sure do. It's such a worrisome thing for parents. You know, if you eat every day, generally you should poop every day, but that's not true in infants. Babies don't have to poop every day, especially breastfed infants. They may go up to a week without pooping. You know, just like everything else, you have to learn how to poop. You have to learn how to relax your anal sphincter at the same time that you're pushing, and babies just don't know how. So they'll clench down completely and push, and nothing comes out. So I often find parents will come in and say, he's working so hard to poop, and then soft poop comes out. How can this be constipation? Well, really it isn't. It's just that they don't know how to poop.
That's awesome. I guess everyone does poop, and everybody maybe has to learn. It's not something that we're inherently born with as a baby human skill. Anyhow, I mean, parents are really concerned about this, and there are a lot of supposed treatments out there to help constipated babies. I've had parents mention water, prune juice, apple juice, olive oil. Are these treatments really legitimate? What do you recommend?
Well, they're all fairly safe. You know, if the texture of the poop is soft, you don't need to change the texture by using water or prune juice or any of those methods. If the poop is hard, those certainly are worth a try. But generally, things like massaging the abdomen, or we often recommend stimulating the little baby bottom with the rectal thermometer, and that helps a baby to relax enough to poop.
Is there ever any time when constipation should warrant concern? When should a parent bring their baby to get checked out if they're not pooping?
Well, if they're vomiting, then that would certainly be a concern because they may have an obstruction that is causing both problems. The other concern would be if a baby early on in their life isn't pooping, because that can mean that their nervous system is actually not built correctly to help them to poop.
But it's safe to say that both spitting up and constipation are not necessarily things that are frequently emergency situations. Often, they're scary baby symptoms that are completely normal. We're joined today by San Diego Emergency Room pediatrician, Dr. Wendy Hunter. So babies can have a wide variety of interesting skin discolorations, peels, zits. And a lot of these things can look really alarming to parents. A recent story about Mason, he had his first pediatrician's appointment, his first newborn visit, and they found that he was actually hypothermic, or his temperature was too low. And we found out that my sister had had him in the air-conditioned room without his clothes on. And because of that, he just was very sensitive to temperature changes in the room. And he ended up having to hang out in the pediatrician's office for a little while and, you know, get some warm-up help, which was successful. But baby circulation is interesting. I mean, we've also noticed that newborns seem to have purple hands and feet, but the rest of their bodies seem to be pink. What causes this scary yet normal discoloration in newborn babies?
Oh gosh, that would scare me so much too. You would have to think that your baby wasn't getting enough oxygen. But the truth is that either they're a little bit cold, and the priority in a baby is to keep their central core warm, so all of their blood will kind of go towards the center of their body and their hands and feet will kind of shut off. So not scary at all. It's actually really reassuring that the baby's doing what they need to do. And the other thing is that their nervous system just doesn't really, they're not prepared for our world. So they don't know where their blood should be. So sometimes they'll just randomly shut off the blood to part of their body. In fact, there's a really strange thing called a Harlequin baby, where half the body right down the center will split and half will be warm and the other half will be cold.
Not as in the Suicide Squad Harlequin, correct?
Correct, but still scary.
But perfectly normal. So another thing that we've noticed about Mason is he seems to peel a lot, and that also was something that was a little bit concerning. I mean, his skin looked like little old person skin, wrinkly and peely when he first came out. Is this normal?
Oh, it's completely normal. And again, it's just a sign that they are just transitioning from living in this watery environment in the womb to living outside.
So another newborn skin scare are these dark purplish blue spots that sometimes show up on a baby's back or on their butt. You recently had a patient in the emergency department that had come in and had some concerns about being in the baby swing and maybe having some bruises to the back of their bottom and their back. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I did. This family came in and they had shown their doctor, but their doctor didn't really say anything about the marks. And so they came into the ER to make sure that someone really was taking them seriously. And in fact, you know, we should just be careful to point out that they are birthmarks. They're called blue-gray nevuses. They're typically on the back and the low back, but they can appear on the hands or arms even. So you just need to make sure you notice them so you know that they're not new bruises.
So these are not signs of maybe a child being abused in a daycare center when you see them. They're actually something that the baby is born with. They don't hurt the baby, and they're completely normal?
They are completely normal. They do look quite a lot like bruises, though, so just make sure you know where they are on your baby.
Interesting. So one final scary baby skin symptom, it's the case of the amazing orange-tinged baby. How do you tell the difference between jaundice and keratinemia in babies?
So jaundice is from a liver just being immature and not processing the products of breaking down blood cells. So first, the eyes will turn yellow and the face, and then we'll proceed down the body. It shouldn't really occur in anybody over 2 months old. The difference with keratinemia is that that's more of an orange color. So keratinemia is when you've eaten too much beta carotene in food and it gets deposited in your skin. So baby food is super processed, so it breaks down all the cells and opens them up. So a baby absorbs a lot more keratin than an adult person does. You'll typically see it appear in places that have sweat glands, so it'll appear on the nose first, and it's much more obvious in fluorescent light.
So in other words, if I went overboard in feeding my baby carrots and sweet potatoes, they could potentially turn orange?
Yeah, it's one of my pediatric secrets is that I love to tell parents, oh, hey, is he eating a lot of squash and carrots? And they say, how did you know? Well, this is why I know.
Thanks for the tip. So switching gears a little bit off to skin, back to hormones, we did talk a little bit about hormones earlier on when we discussed how estrogen plays a role in nasal congestion in babies. Interestingly enough, hormones have other normal yet seemingly scary results in babies. Do you mind sharing a little bit about the role of hormones in baby breast development and in pseudomenstruation?
Yeah, so as I said before, babies are exposed to a lot of estrogen when they are inside mom. And when they're born, that estrogen level starts to go down. And one of the normal things for any human body is that as estrogen levels decline, it signals for prolactin to be made. And prolactin makes you lactate. So it will develop breasts. So even boys, little baby boys, as this process is happening, can have breast enlargement. And it can be just one side, which is very scary because you can think that it's an infection or something like that. So girls who have uteruses, even when they're teeny tiny babies, they can have a teeny tiny little baby period as a result of this hormone change.
Totally scary, but completely normal. So the challenge of understanding newborn, infant, and baby symptoms has been so much clearer after talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise. So I understand that you have a website and a blog that's dedicated to explaining the science behind weird kid behaviors and scary baby symptoms. Do you mind telling me a little bit about baby science, how you came up with the idea, and what its mission is?
Yeah, I just noticed this pattern where parents really want to understand why something is happening. And oftentimes in a pediatric visit, we just don't have the time to explain what's really going on. And parents want to be empowered. So that's why I started Baby Science. I want to explain the science behind the weird things that kids and babies do.
And from Baby Science, you've actually expanded to authoring a book called Why Baby? Do you mind giving us a little preview, a little sneak peek into Why Baby?
Yeah, I've written it as a question and answer format because parents don't have a whole lot of time to really sit down and read a book. But if you're wondering, you know, why doesn't my baby poop? You can just read, just write about that one specific topic. It's not published yet. Still looking for my audience and finishing it up. But in the meantime, I am writing my blog at babyscience.info.
Is there anywhere else that we can find you? Do you have a Twitter handle or a Facebook page that people can link into you and contact you with?
Yeah, absolutely. On Facebook, I'm at Baby Science, which is one word. And you can follow me on Twitter at Wendy Hunter MD.
And what is the site for Baby Science?
Babyscience.info.
No way. So thank you again, Dr. Hunter, and thanks to WBAIFM and the Center for Health Media and Policy at Hunter College. For all those parents out there, I hope that you feel a lot more confident in knowing some of the scary symptoms that your baby may share with you that are actually completely normal.